Let us prepare for worship.
Everybody, please stand and sing our call to worship, page 328, Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Sure, the presence of the Lord is in this place. It is in our hearts and in our souls. It is with us each step we take. And yet there's something about coming into the house of God, being in front of the altar in the worship area, sitting in the pews of the congregation, and feeling the power of the presence of God, singing the hymns, reading the lectionary, reading the words, listening to all that happens in Scripture, and then knowing that as we recite creeds, that we're doing so to honor God. So bless us this day Let us worship you with all the power and strength that we have, and let us be in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would stand with, remain stand with us and sing Blessed Assurance, page 369. Let us sing together. As you remain standing, our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. It is page 881, or you'll find it on the screen. Let us unite this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascendeth into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's join together in our time of prayer, first a silent prayer, and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Let us listen for just a moment more, O Lord. Let us listen to your voice speak to us, O God. Let us hear your praise for your Son, the Beloved. Let us hear you reminding the apostles to listen to that Son. Let us hear your voice speak to us this morning and change us by the very act of you being present with us. Let us hear that voice out of living scriptures that speaks to us each day of our lives. Let us not be afraid, but let us be open to that power. And whether it be a still, small voice, or whether it be a loud voice praising God, let us listen. The voice is calling us, and it wants us to hear. The voice is speaking to us, and it wants us to praise. It speaks to us, O Lord, when we have death in our families and our church. It speaks to us last week as we did funerals. And it speaks to us today. Let us listen, O Lord. Part of listening is raising up names to you so that you will hear them. So whether it be out loud or silently, let us say those names to change us and to move us. We praise you, O Lord, for each name that has been risen to you. Thanks be to God for you hearing, and thanks be to God for you caring. Now walk with us this day. Let us worship you, and let us be open to you. And let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, let us stand, because you certainly cannot sing this song sitting unless you have to. Let us sing Standing on the Promises, page 374 or on the screen. Let us stand and sing together.
Thank you.
be seated, and you can now catch your breath as you're staying with that song through the whole time. It goes, doesn't it? And that's a good thing. Our ushers are coming forward, so good. Let us pray together. Your gift is so great. May we give back to you in the way you gave to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you. Let us pray together. The voice of God speaking to us today. Just as that voice spoke to the apostles on that mountaintop, the voice of God speaks to us today. Let us listen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to read the first verse that was not part of the reading this morning, but I want you to hear it. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." And then the very next words in verse 2 is 6 days later. I want you to use your memory this morning. Those of us who have memory left, I want us to use your memory, and I want you to allow yourself to think back. It can be really just a little while ago, or it could be years, to that one moment that's etched in your mind that you cannot forget, and that when you think on it, whether it be yesterday or 60 years ago or more, it seems like it just happened today. Everybody should have one of those moments. You may have 8 or 10 of them. You may have more, you may have less, but everybody should have one. Excuse me, the moment that I asked Mary Lynn to marry me, I was waiting for her to say no. Because I wouldn't marry me, so I don't know why she would. And hearing her say yes, that moment is etched in my mind. It won't leave. It's part of who I am. The moment, even though we eloped, our family ended up being there in some form or fashion. And the pastor saying, "Will you take this man to be your wedded husband?" I'm still waiting on her to say no at that point, and yet she says yes, and I can hear her voice of that very young lady saying yes. I remember that day that I held my first baby in my arms, our first child. And then the day we held our second one. And the day that I helped deliver Gracie Ann, those memories stay there. And then one last one of all the memories. There's that day that we come to ordination and we're on the stage and our name is called. And we go over and we kneel at that altar and the bishop, that time Bishop Lee, puts his hands on our shoulder and our head later and says, "Take thou authority." And I remember when he paused and all that had gone into that moment up to that time, all the school, all the hard work, all the prayer, all the preparation, all of a sudden it rushes to you and it comes to that end that you have reached that place that you're trying to get to. It's there, and I can still hear his voice and I can still see and feel that entire moment. We all have those moments. Now, I've talked through some of mine. I wonder if you've, I'm not asking for testimony now. I'm just asking, have you thought about those places in your life where those memories are just there? I've talked about all the good times with me. But I'll throw one more in that's sad. I remember the day I stood over the casket of our grandson and got ready to do his eulogy for his funeral and put him in that ground in that small casket. That moment never leaves me also. It's there. It's engraved. It's part of who I am. And if you want to understand me, which I think people have been trying to figure that out for a long time, but if you want to understand me, you have to understand the moments that have stayed with me and never leave. And I think if you want to understand yourself, you have to think about those moments that have stayed with you, that have never left you, that have never gone away from you. You have to think of those moments in your own mind, in your own soul, because they are moments that stand out in your life. Well, the reason it makes me think about that with this scripture, I want you to think about what it must have been like to be invited by Jesus to go on a mountaintop, Peter, James, and John, and to walk on that mountaintop, and once you arrive there, whether it took overnight or happened that moment, it doesn't say in scriptures, it just says 6 days later, all of a sudden transfigured, if you listen to the reading, transfigured before them, clothes become dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. Can you imagine being the three of them? They stand there, and you see Jesus transfigured, and standing there with them are Moses and Elijah having a conversation with Jesus. One would think that moment would stick out in one's mind, wouldn't you? You'd think you would walk with that the rest of your life. And there's some moments that it's better to be quiet. You have the three of them talking. Now, I have to admit, I would want to inch closer. Can you imagine the opportunity to listen to Jesus and Moses and Elijah have a conversation? I have to admit, I want to get as close as I can to that conversation. I want to hear. I'm eavesdropping with every ounce of my being, if that's what I had to do, although I have a feeling they weren't talking quietly. And I want to take that moment, and I want it to stay in me and with me and through me to the uttermost place in my life. And sometimes it's just better to sit back and listen. However, Peter's Peter. And if you watch the sentence about him, it's very interesting. It says, he says this, and Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Thanks for inviting us. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But the real important sentence is the next one. He did not know what to say, for he was terrified. My dad used to say to me, if you don't know what to say, the best thing to say is nothing. He would have said it in a southern way, son, keep your trap shut is the best thing you can possibly do. Now, I have to admit, I never was real good at that. Those who know me know that I don't talk a lot, believe it or not. That's all y'all hear me do, but I don't talk a lot. But when I want to talk, I talk more than I should. And I'm sure none of y'all have any of those issues like that. But if you think about it, he spoke not because he really was trying to be disruptive. He spoke because he was terrified and he didn't know what to do. It reminds me of the angel coming to Mary and saying, "Be not afraid." It reminds me of going to Joseph and saying, "Don't be afraid," to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid." They all listened. Peter did not. Well, the fact is, we don't know how long it took him to say that. He may have listened more than we think, but it appears not. And so you've got this picture of Jesus being transfigured. He's talking to Moses and Elijah. By the way, in case you don't know, we worship a God of the living, not the dead. And if he's standing there talking to them after they've died, guess what they're doing? They're living. They may be living in a different form or way than we understand life, but they're living and they're hoeing. They knew who they were. So we're worshiping a God of the living. So the living who have died is sitting there with them. He doesn't know what to say. So you've got the scene of transfiguration. You've got the scene of them all being there, the conversation happening. And then in the midst of this, a cloud covers them. So how many of y'all have ever been down the road in the fog and accidentally put on your bright lights? What do you see then? You see bright lights. You see nothing. Well, you've got all that going on and a cloud overcomes that which is being transfigured. And the brightness of that moment now gets illuminated even more because it's inside of a cloud. And God says to them, "This is my son, the beloved." Now, there's three more words, but let's stop with just this first. The voice speaks. My son, the beloved. Remember baptism for Jesus? When he comes up out of the water, there's a dove, and what the voice says? "This is my son. With him I am well pleased." This is God over and over again trying to say to the people, "This is the one I've sent. We are one together." Listen to him is the next three words. He's trying to get them to understand that I'll be paying attention. Listen to what he says. Listen to how he speaks. Watch what he does. Now, I want you to do something for me and hear this next part. It all stops. Suddenly they looked around and there was no one with them anymore but Jesus. But here's the part in verse 9 I want you to pay close attention to. We've had a transfiguration. We've seen Moses and Elijah. We have heard the voice of God. We are coming off the mountain. They've been told to listen. Now, this little part, it's just verse 9, says this. And they were coming down the mountain. Jesus orders them to tell no one about what they've seen. Now, can you imagine that? The rest of the apostles, who, by the way, they have to take care of some stuff, clean up some stuff, they've messed up while they've been on the mountain, but that's another sermon. They come down and they get there that night. Can you imagine the conversation? What'd y'all do? What happened? Because the one thing we know about these apostles, they're very curious and at times they're very jealous. What'd it take y'all? What happened up there? And can you imagine them saying to the rest of the apostles, You can't tell you. Not allowed to talk. But here's the key to this whole conversation with this. Remember God said to them, listen to him. Remember, they don't know that he's going to be crucified. They never get it, right? Watch it. So he said, so tell no one about what you've seen until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Now, y'all help me. Just help me. I know this is may not make sense, but don't you have to die to be risen from the dead? Isn't the way it works is that you don't get risen until you've died? God just says, listen to him. And he says, don't tell anyone until after I have risen from the dead. Kind of reminds me of kind of what my dad used to do. If he really wanted to get my attention, he would come over to me and he would grab my ears and he would point my head towards him and he would say the following words, are you listening to me? And then he would follow it up with, and are you actually paying attention to me? Because there is a wide difference between listening and paying attention. You can listen and it go in one ear and out the next. You can pay attention and actually get what is being said. Jesus gives them the entire understanding that what's going to happen is he's going to rise from the dead, and it goes in one ear and it goes out the next. And God is going, they didn't listen. So I asked you at the beginning of our time this morning to think back upon the things that are etched or indelled in your mind that you cannot forget. The question I have from that is, did you listen to what happened? Did it change your life? Or are you still trying to just figure it out? Because I also remember, as a ripe old 7-year-old, going down to an altar without anybody asking me to, kneeling on a knee and asking Christ to save me. I remember that little boy. He's a long time ago. He was not cluttered by all the stuff of the world. He was just a 7-year-old who loved to play baseball. That's about all I had. Went to school. There were things going to happen that year that I did not know that would never leave me. I lost my best friend that year. I watched him die. It will never leave me. And yet, I remember that little 7-year-old boy. And I remember praying that God would save me, and that I had faith in God. Did I really listen? I hope so. Because I truly believe God listened to me. Are we, as the church, as individuals, are we listening to God? Let us pray together. We begin the journey, O Lord, towards your day of dying. As much as we would love to be going on a journey just to resurrection, we have to be on the journey to death first. So we prepare ourselves. We give up things. Or maybe we add things that allow us to give up other things. Do we hear the words that come from the Father? This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to Him. I pray, O Lord, that we as individuals in a church listen. That we truly hear your words. And we offer this morning, the words that have been said, the words that have been read, the songs that have been sung. We offer them all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. The altar is open if you want to come and pray. Let us stand and sing together, 382. Thank you for being with us this morning. It is a good and glorious morning. Have a good evening. I'm sure none of y'all are going to watch the Super Bowl, so don't have to worry about that. We're going to watch the commercials. A game will be around it. And so we'll enjoy that, so we'll have a good time tonight. I hope y'all do too. Be safe. Prepare yourself for for Ash Wednesday and Lent. I'm going back to Christmas. For Ash Wednesday and Lent, let us know that we are coming to that time. Let us pray together. Now let us go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let us listen. Because the voice of God still speaks. Amen.